This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Consideration along with the other schools on his list.
Why is BYU on the list? I mean, that seems like an odd fit. But, you know, hey.
They saw him dunk on Big Chet, all I can think of.
Hey,
they said, we got to get that guy.
East High School to BYU, man. that's not a journey that has been taken very often in one's career.
I mean, more so than find somewhere where he's going to fit. I just hope that he can be healthy, because if Malcolm Danders is healthy, he's going to play wherever school he goes to. BYU, Oklahoma State, UCF was on that list, reported list. Western Kentucky, Kansas State, and then a return to Memphis is listed as a possibility.
Okay.
This was from early was yesterday.
Yeah,
on Twitter for now.
I heard the same. I think Hitman Hoops is who tweeted that or had that report.
I didn't know where it originated from. I'm glad you said.
Yeah, Hitman Hoops had that on Malcolm, and I think the second half of that is it actually may be Malcolm's decision, right, to – you know, come whether or not he comes back to Memphis, which to me is odd, because why transfer in the first? I guess you just give yourself the option. Nothing wrong with that. Leverage your position there, and see if somebody else will, you know, give you some money or anything at all. And if you get something that is attractive, you can take it. And if you don't, you can just stay at home, I guess. I don't know. Malcolm would be the. Do I think they'll get a better big, like in terms of a depth guy in the portal than Malcolm? I don't at this point. I mean, my God, it's freaking May 25th. You know, you're not going to get that ship has left the dock. But I think they need they just get it back. I mean, I think it makes sense, because, you know, obviously if you have, you know, grand plans, you still need depth. So get Malcolm back in the fold. He started for you in games before, you know. Health is obviously is always the key question there, but at least he's a guy that we've seen produce. He can be good when he's healthy. He's familiar with the system.
I saw as the roster currently stands, Rostein's got it outside his top 45.
And,
no idea where they're at.
But I can add to that.
Based on what they've added, the national analysts don't seem to think much of it.
Yeah, to that point.
In terms of being close to a top 25 outfit right now. We've said we got to wait and see, but right now it don't look pretty. At least according to them.
In that group chat I'm in, Goodman was going through teams. I guess he's going to write something or something about teams that are disappointing in terms of their roster. It's Auburn, Memphis, Kentucky, obviously. Kentucky is a disaster. They're going to get their own piece because they're struggling. Like, I don't think Kentucky has done anything in the portal to speak of. They're leaning on a bunch of freshmen. Like, it's kind of what Memphis is doing. Memphis has actually done better than Kentucky in the portal.
I just still believe he's going to pull something off or some things off that's going to push him up that list.
Cal or Penny?
Penny.
Oh, yeah.
He's not sitting here about to go into this thing looking like it does right now.
Yeah,
there's a plan.
Two and a half players over under?
He went over. I'm going to go over that.
Especially if we're now all of a sudden looks like Malcolm might come back, or if that's now a possibility.
I mean, will you welcome him back?
That's an easy over. Yeah, the question isn't about me. It's about you. You waved him goodbye.
Well,
you gave him a nice tweet that did well. You said Little John wishes you well.
I mean, I feel like you can't come back after that.
You put your signature on it and everything else.
But
can he come back after you've written a letter like that?
Little John will welcome him back. He will welcome him back for sure.
Yeah.
When I heard Malcolm was considering a return to Memphis, do you know what my first reaction was? What? Mm-hmm. Okay. That's how I felt. Do you remember? The Lil Jon era, bro?
Oh yeah,
it was the crunk music.
Yeah, that, he was on everything.
Like what was it, like 03, 04?
Peace yep. up, A-Town. Down.
Now this was more Usher, but Lil Jon was on this.
On everything.
Yeah,
screaming on everybody's
really
stuff.
Was.
Or on his own.
That's how I felt, bro. That's how I felt.
I guess we got Lil Jon out because he kind of.
He doesn't.
Folks don't put him on anymore.
What does he do? He screams three words. He had a couple tracks he tried. But, like, I think he's a producer,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, he puts it together, bro.
Yeah, like, but
got
he
got a heck of a studio with that.
It was Lil Jon and Eastside Boys. Like, he had his own.
Music evolves and that sound sort of did its own thing. And
It did.
Kind of got old. Okay, it happens.
Oh, remember we had the MIYT. Yup. Remember that era?
No.
You don't remember the franchise, boys?
I remember that song.
We had.
It wasn't really my era.
Yeah, White T was like, it had a chokehold on. You know, teenagers, man.
Yeah, that was your era.
You had to buy the huge T-shirt, and it had to be crispy white. You know what I mean? You got to find my white T, Brad. Find that song. That's really gonna take me back if you can find my white T. Yup, my white T. I think that was them franchise boys. I'm not sure.
You know, white T's were a thing in the 90s too, in the mid 90s. We were doing white tees a little bit before y'all.
Yeah. That's Lil Jon, yeah. Not in my white tee, though. I need my white tee, man.
White tee clean. Okay.
It's out there.
Yeah, it's still franchise,
yep.
Boys.
Yep.
Yeah, buddy. In my white tee. Yep. 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 This takes me back to White Station Middle School, bro.
What year was it?
You gotta be old. No date on this. It's a re-recorded
or 03. Oh, it's 04.
2004. Yeah. Universal Music.
That was a
Lil Jon is not on this.
No, he's not on this one.
This is a time frame.
But that was like the era of rap, yeah. Really, back in like 04. It's like Lil Jon. It was the dances, just Lean With It, Rock With It, all that.
Lean With It, Rock With It.
You know, eventually Soulja Boy came on the scene. You know.
Yep.
But look, this is not an anthology of hip hop as much as that's what y'all are trying to make this about. This is about what Penny is building over at Memphis. And I think, to borrow from Joe Esposito, it's a monster. It's a monster here.
There's a throwback.
Joe Esposito's like, that's a damn good class he's putting together over there.
Is that he at UMKC like still? Is he still up in Kansas City doing that gig as an assistant?
I think so.
Yeah.
I'll say this. Like, I feel like you can't really talk-ish when your mascot is a kangaroo, you know? Like, it's just, you got to just sit that out.
He doesn't say anything about
it. Not anymore.
Well, hello there.
He did, though. He loved doing it.
Penny's had two number one recruiting class.
He loved doing it, though. He was one of the main ones that was, like, chirping when Memphis would lose a game or something like that.
Right, right.
You know?
When they weren't living up to his expectations.
I mean, I get it. Like, people didn't attack him. But they attacked his.
It's the JUCO stuff.
Well, he was the best recruiter on that staff, which says absolutely nothing, but he was. And then somehow Pooh Williamson got big-time jobs after he left Memphis. And I'm like, bro, what
unreal
does Pooh have on these people? Because yep. Pooh never did anything. You know, Saul, as we know, was just an empty seat. Joe was the only one that was doing anything and recruiting anything. And again, that wasn't – the bar was on the ground. Ground dog, like if you got a top 150, it was like, man.
Well, I mean, we're about to start finding out because some of these guys report this weekend. You know, these workouts can start in June. I heard Caleb Mills is coming in town this weekend. You're transferring from Florida State, obviously, and so these dominoes will start falling.
Right.
Penny said he wanted it in there in June, and obviously, you know, to get the team earlier. Get the preseason workout started with the whole group. That was his intention afterward. Clearly, you're not going to be able to have the whole group that he wants, but you do got guys coming in, and we'll start to get some answers on, you know, who's going to fill the holes here, I think, pretty shortly, because guys are going to start appearing over there, and those answers will start coming out.
Yeah, like, I think, you know, there are some obvious holes to address that I think Petty probably shares the same. So, in terms of the views, they're not done, but they also reached out to another kid from St. John's yesterday or the day before, David Jones. So they're still players out there is the point. And, you know, again, depending on what happens with Mikey, I know that's like we keep saying that. I mean, I mean that kid's ranked 49th in the country. I'd have been cut him. He's not good enough for me to wait on. He's just not. I mean, that's me. I don't know what's been agreed upon. I don't know, you know, the particulars here. I know he's a celebrity. I know he's got social media and all that. But I can't wait till June 29th. I mean, for me, like, I'm trying to build this thing out. And I'm not even sure what we'll find out on June 29th. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure how much of this gets resolved or what. But, you know, again, even if those charges get reduced, right, it's still optically not great. I mean, you're praying for a complete, dropping here, right? I mean, expungement, totally. If you're Memphis,
yeah. I mean, it depends on what it's, you know, if it's reduced to a misdemeanor.
Yeah.
I don't know what it would be, but if it is,
it seems unlikely though. If a firearm's involved, you know, and it's in the state of California, you know, again, if it was in Tennessee, he'd have been elected onto some board or something. But it's in California, so
I think Penny made it clear, you know, that. If he could right now, maybe you would,
mm-hmm.
but because of where they are with the roster.
Right.
I mean, and because you have a relationship with the kid, and because
sure.
we're talking about probably two guys. You're talking about him and J.J.
Yep.
Taylor. If you cut Mikey, you lose, you know, two are out of the fold. Well, you got to replace those two. And so, you know.
Yeah.
Just still in that holding pattern. It doesn't surprise me that we're still here.
And don't forget, too, like, I mean, graduate transfers can decide to leave at any point. From their current schools, they don't.
And Mikey was allowed to. Giannotto made the point: go to an All-Star game. I think at DC. You know, looks like he's been traveling. So if they're letting him do all that and still, you know, and, because remember he posted bond to get out.
Yep.
Right. And if they're still letting him go about his basketball business, maybe this intention to just nail him to the wall. Maybe at some point it gets resolved. Like we said, there's a PSA Mikey can do: take a reduced charge. You know. Maybe that's the way this can still go, but it does seem like the closer and closer you get, you know, because you can't wait till the end of June. That doesn't necessarily finish anything, you know. If this thing goes to trial, you certainly can't wait. So
it's just a bad spot for the Tigers.
The answer's going to start coming soon, y'all, because workouts are starting.
Right,
guys are coming in. They're going to report. I mean, you're going to be able to have Jordan and Leonard, however you pronounce it, and then Caleb's up in here.
Yeah,
so you'll have, you know. You'll have the guys that are back. Ashton's going to be there.
Yep.
Yeah, they'll start, and then the pieces will, you know, we'll start to see what he's filling it up with.
Yeah,
those other holes.
But that's the latest on Memphis basketball. That they certainly will, I think, add over 2.5 players. I feel pretty comfortable about that. Now, that probably in terms of the math, they're going to drop some. So. I mean, I think that's the other – that's most likely – I mean, I have a pretty good feeling at least one. So, you know, that probably goes into – I don't know how the math comes out on that. But, yeah, I think to bottom line it, 2.5 over new faces from here.
Yeah, I'll roll with that.
Yeah, I feel pretty damn good about that. Anyway, there you have it. All right, we got NBA tonight. Boston Celtics taking on the Miami Heat. Get into that. The Raiders made a bad investment. What else is new? All that and more on the other side. Jason and John, 90 Turn FM, ESPN.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
The Live Love Memphis group at the Real Estate Agency is here. for you. They're going to help you make the most money for your home. Master marketers, masterminds in the real estate game. Over $300 million in real estate sold over the last 9 years. That is no accident, no fluke. You can't possibly do that if it's a fluke. They have the best team in Memphis. They know how to market. They know how to make your home look good, sound good, stage, everything. They're easy to get in touch with. Reach out, soldatlivelovememphis.com.
901-625-5200 is the number to Jennifer Carstensen and her fantastic team. They're making Memphis a better place because they're out to lower rentership in Memphis. I tell you that because Jennifer Carstensen will tell you very quickly how much rent has gone up and how you're just paying your landlord's mortgage. That's all they're doing is applying it to theirs. Get your own. And in many cases, you can afford one when you don't think you can. Don't let fear or assumptions be the thing that keeps you from making the call. 901-625-5200. Like I like to say, the least you're going to get from Jennifer Carstensen is an education. You're probably going to make a lot of money, if whether it's selling your home or putting you in a position where she did with my wife and myself. We're in a much better spot with equity, everything else, and helping us find our dream home is a perfect pick. All thanks to Jennifer Carstensen. 625-5200 is the Live Love Memphis and Live Love DeSoto teams at the Real Estate Agency.
Every day around this time, we do the rundown. Let's go.
It's the rundown with the biggest stories of the day from Jason and John on 92.9 FM ESPN. First story.
NBA action back tonight as the Boston Celtics are back home against the Miami Heat, trying to get the series back to 3-2. They are now, Jason, 8.5-point favorites. That number has gone up. And interestingly enough, they Eric Spoelstra was having a media availability about 30 minutes ago. Mm-hmm. And somebody had the bright idea to ask him about what he thought about that number, despite being up 3-1 in the series.
Wow.
And he said, quote, "We don't give a ish. We don't give an ish."
That's been somebody new.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of, I mean, it's interesting. Like, it's an interesting thought, you know.
Oh, you don't ask the NBA head coach about the line?
Will you fix the game, coach? Yes, I will. But no, 8.5 is the number now. And look, I understand that Boston has been putrid at home. As good as they are, that record at home is downright embarrassing. There really doesn't seem to be, for either of these teams, I think going back to the playoff series last year, both home teams in this series are 6-15, which is just odd, and maybe speaks to the other team's ability to win on the road too. I mean, I think both teams are. I don't know what explains it. Boston seems to be more comfortable when they're away from home, and like the odds are stacked against them when they like catch breaks and get like Joel Embiid out. They lose. You know, so I expect them to kind of go into this game without Gabe Vincent feeling comfortable. But they should not feel that way because they are down 3-1 in this series. The only thing I would say that concerned me at large with the series is just how gassed the Heat looked at the end of game four. And as you pointed out, Jimmy didn't even really play that much in game three. So you would think he'd be fresher. But I just wonder if the play-in tournament and all those games and having to basically be on 100, you know, the entirety of the playoffs is catching up a little bit. Because I think that's probably the other side. We talk about, oh, the regular season doesn't matter. Well, now you've had to go full throttle for a month, month and a half,
mm-hmm.
this mental warfare that you're playing in these back-and-forth series. And now maybe that's just finally catching up a little bit. I'm not saying that they're going to lose the series. I'm just saying, you know, for a game-to-game deal, maybe that's something that's coming into play a little bit.
Yeah, he did look worn down. You know, how much of that was Jimmy and sandbagging a little bit? How much of it was he's, you know, worn out by, well, you go 9 of 21. He had a solid game but wasn't his best. I don't know. What I do know is that they've won. He and the Heat love playing in Boston. It's 5 of the last 6 they've won there. 3 straight in Boston. Again, you're right. Boston should win this game. Everything tells you logically they do play better backs against the wall, particularly in these elimination games. And none of the elimination games where Boston shines. It's what they were back was against the wall against the Philadelphia 76ers. But for whatever reason, 10-11 at home the last two postseasons. I don't know what it is. Jaylen Brown's point said the fans don't give. Jaylen Brown needs to look in the mirror. He hadn't been good, quite frankly, in this series. Tatum has stepped up. Like, I've been tough on him at times for maybe not showing enough emotion, whatever that is. Hey, the production's been there for the most part when their backs have been against the wall, including in that game seven. I got a feeling Jimmy is going to come out tonight and not look tired at all.
Yeah.
Whatever this is, whatever that confidence level is, when they get into Boston, man, it's real. And I know the tendency is to look at them and say, okay, with Gabe Vincent down, Gabe Vincent averaged 17.5 points this series. He's been great. And with him going down, they're shorthanded. No way Kyle Lowry can step up at this point. Watch him do it. Watch him and Jimmy win.
Well, it'll be a Tatum versus Butler show for sure. Because I think Tatum's going to do the same thing. Tatum in these moments is
Kyle
huge.
Just can't be in. He can't be. He's got to be big tonight for him too. It can't just be Jimmy. Is my point. They're going to need something from Kyle Lowry.
Kyle Lowry was bad in game four. Yeah. Like he was throwing the ball over the place.
Right, and
like,
when he slipped too, and it looked like, you know, who knows how.
He's on
the injury report, but they expect him to go. He has to go because Gabe's out.
They have no choice. You know, look, the NBA is Jimmy has been great, truly great in the postseason, but another defining piece of this Heat run has been the 3-point shot. I mean, whoever makes more threes wins this game. I know that's like oversimplistic, but it really has been like it's a high variance series because both teams are really good from three. Like is Brogdon gonna like show up? Brogdon's been terrible.
He's got a partial tear in the tendon, according to the Athletic.
Oh wow, that makes sense.
Playing through it on his coming out of his right elbow.
I would ask the
leads
Celtics
into his forearm
really then. Need him to do that.
I mean, that's one of the reasons why he's been so bad shooting the ball here lately. First four games of the conference finals, he's 3 of 14 from deep.
Yeah,
that was after shooting 44% from three in the regular season.
Yeah, sixth man of the year.
He ain't right.
Yeah,
Brogdon.
Well, I guess they don't really have anything behind him either. I mean, it'd be Pritchard. I don't know. Yeah, that would be nasty. So, I guess you just kind of have to ask him to tough it out down 3-1. I mean,
just go big, move smart over. I mean, go big down there with, as we said, you're already playing Horford and Williams, right? You had Jalen, Tatum, and move smart over.
They're not
the
starting Williams, though, which is odd to me. Like, they started him, and now they've taken him out. Now it's Derek White in the lineup again.
Well, and Miami had that pretty figured out early.
I know.
If they started the series like that, and Miami's eating them up.
Well, I
know it worked against Philly, but it just looked like Miami was ready.
Yeah, because, you know, you're slower.
And your boy Mazzulla's trying to figure out everything. He's trying to react.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's him. He's reacting rather than being proactive.
But Rob Williams made a huge impact on Jimmy. Just making it harder on Jimmy is the goal. I mean, he's going to do what he does, but damn, make it hard on him. And I think Rob Williams he did it in game four. Like, he was out there with Jimmy on the perimeter. You know, he was in there because when they made that comeback in game two, it happened when they took Rob off the floor, and so Jimmy was just taking Grant down, and Grant played good defense. I mean, there's not a whole lot he can do, but he was still able to get the shot up over him. You know, that doesn't happen with Rob. Now, Rob's not perfect. I mean, I know people probably think Rob Williams is the best player in the league. He's not. But I do think he's – look at his field goal percentages. Look at his block rate. Look at all that.
But, I mean, if you look at this box score, they won that game by 17 points. Horford's plus 23. Tatum's plus 21, as you'd expect. And Rob Williams sit down there at minus 6.
Well, I don't know what happened there.
So the little time that he was out there, he's the one dude that he was not good out there in that game. Well, Brogdon, too, is minus 1. Everybody else is plus double digits.
Who had the best on the team?
And he played 22 minutes.
Yeah, he did. I think that's
– you're right. They've switched him to the bench, but
what was Derek White's plus minus?
Plus 7. Okay. Everybody in the starting lineup was a plus, and most of them were double digits, 21, right. 23, 15.
No, I mean, look, the key there, Jason, Horford made threes.
So your boy Rob Williams maybe not been as effective as your –
he can't shoot.
Here lately, the Heat got him a little more figured out.
He
can't shoot.
He's a one-dimensional dude. Like, he
– catching lobs or putbacks.
And you know, block.
But defensively,
shots.
You're right. I mean, he makes – I think he's one of the reasons Jimmy was so worn down at the end, trying to go in there and score over those guys.
You can close with him. You can close with Rob Williams on the floor. Like,
if you up and you need stops.
Right, use him like that. Yeah, you're not going to, like, draw up threes for him. but maybe he should add that to his game. Maybe now that he's with Mike, he'll add that to his game. He can work out with Let It Fly in the summertime and develop that. He'd be unstoppable, really. Like Moussa Cisse out there shooting NBA threes.
You're going to be sick tonight.
You think so? You think the Heat went outright?
It could.
I mean, they are sick enough to do it.
They run Boston pretty much.
Yeah, like Boston is a team that just
Like, did you hear me? They've won five of the last six in Boston and three straight.
If Joe Mazzulla is worth a damn, he is saying this over and over and over and over and over and over again. We have let these people come in here and beat our ass five out of the last six times, including three in a row. Are we going to let them do it a fourth?
Also, Jimmy hasn't lost back-to-back in these playoffs.
Really?
He don't lose two.
Wow. That's
crazy.
Oh, you
didn't realize that?
I didn't even think about it. I would have thought maybe in the Bucks series, but I guess they only
everything, Gabe Vincent injury, everything's saying Celtics. This is where they let you down.
It is typically where they let you down. But do you really think the Bucks
especially at home.
Get closed out of the crib?
They better not.
That's
they
the
might
end
fire,
of,
they'll fire Mazzulla tonight.
I think they would
if he loses on his home floor again. But they were doing this last year, too, so it ain't all on Mazzulla.
That's true.
10-11 the last two postseasons at home. Nobody's lost more in a two-season span. Now, you have to play a ton of games. You have to advance.
That's true.
To lose that many home games in the postseason.
that's why.
But wildly, they're 12-6 on the
better
road.
Better on the road than they are at home.
They find a way.
Yeah, I can't explain that one. I can't really explain that one. But, look, I bet the eight, but what I feel the most confident in is Tatum over. I don't know what his overs are. Just take the over.
I'm sure it's like 29.5, 30, right?
Yeah. He's going to have to do that. He's going to have to. Dude, his.
You know, he was the first Celtic to average 30 in a regular season.
Really?
Like Larry,
Kevin McHale never did that?
Not 30.
Dude, his jump shot.
They were more spread. You know, they had a big three with him, Larry, and Big Chief.
Yeah.
So, but that's my point about averaging 30. But I mean, he's the first Celtic to ever do that.
Pierce never did it, huh? Kind of surprising.
Yeah.
His jumper, dude, is so pure. And, like, the way he – it's, like, mechanical. It's like he gets it off the same exact way. It never changes.
I think I haven't been able to put my finger on what I don't like. There's a ton of things I like about Jason Tatum. But it's somewhere in the fact that it seems like he doesn't get himself going. I touched on this with you yesterday.
Yes.
Until a couple of threes drop.
Yep.
Whereas with Mike and some of the best, Kobe – get to the hole first, work from there.
Yeah.
He does it almost outside in, almost. And that, for whatever reason, I'm not used to my superstars doing it.
Well,
this
Tatum doesn't.
But he usually needs a couple threes before he gets going.
And then he catches fire.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. But if he doesn't, he'll stay cold and not go in the basket, miss everything in the basket, everything else.
Usually I don't think Tatum gets a superstar whistle. I don't. I think he
complains. He looks for it too much, too.
Well, that, too. He does, and that's probably why he doesn't get it.
Did you see when they showed him, Mazzulla pulled him after not getting back off a turnover? Mazzulla pulled him, and this man waved him off as he was going to the bench.
Yeah, well, I mean, I get
it. They don't respect if they're firing him tonight if they lose this game at home, Mazzulla.
But I'm just saying, though, Tatum is a top three player in the league who gets a top 30 whistle. He just doesn't. He gets hit all the time, and he doesn't get to the line. You know,
I mean, he's got to be up there in free throws.
I mean, he should get to the line 15 times a game, at least.
Just compared,
I would say 25
to what we see from the Lakers and what they get. Tatum doesn't get anything close to that kind of star whistle.
Now, like, look, I think it's always a collaborative effort, right? When it comes to like not getting foul calls, he is more of a finesse player. He is happier to take the fadeaway, turn around baseline jumper than get to the rim. He can get to the rim. He can. You know, punch it in there, but he's more of a jump shooter. So that's why
he models again that turnaround. All that's after Kobe.
No doubt. No doubt.
He's taught to have read about it.
He does not get the Kobe whistle. There's no doubt about that.
He didn't get anything close to a Kobe whistle.
Yeah, but I think it's probably a self-fulfilling prophecy, right? Like he complains about the whistle, therefore he does not get the whistle. If he just got back on defense and stopped complaining about it, he probably would start getting it. These refs are human.
He's still so young.
How old is he?
What, he's like 26?
I didn't think he was that old. I thought he was younger than that.
He might be. He might still be 25.
Yeah. I mean, he is a special talent.
He's 25. You're right. He just turned 25 in March.
Okay, yeah.
He didn't turn 26 till 2024.
I mean, you got to think five, 6 more years of Tatum at his peak.
He's been like the East Conference Finals with four straight years.
Dude, I got to give you credit on this one. You called this early. You called that man light-skinned LeBron. And he really is that.
Don't try to get back in my circle of trust.
Well, I got to try, man.
No, don't.
A lot of people don't know.
It's so obvious when you do it because it's so rare when you give me credit. I don't do that.
But I was thinking about that the other day.
Me.
No, I'm
don't
not. I was
stop.
Watching Jason Tatum the other day, and I was saying, you know what? Jason was on the – and I like this was so – this was like 2 years into his career, maybe three. And I was like, you know, whatever. This kid is probably just an okay player, good player, whatever. But this dude has ascended. He has ascended to, like I said, he's top three for me. I put him ahead of Luka right now. Well, like, not even a question. He's ahead of Luka for me.
51 in a game seven.
Exactly. And he's a winner. Like, Luka's not a winner. Like, to me, Luka's reputation has taken a huge hit as how I perceive him as a player. Like, I don't think he is a they didn't even make the play-in this year, and he was healthy. So what are we doing here? If he's a top three player, that team's getting into the play-in. No questions asked. If it's Tatum instead of Doncic, I bet they get to the play-in. That's my view. You know, I think Luka's style is a style that nobody wants to play with because he's so ball dominant and he doesn't want to share it, and he doesn't guard. You know, I think these are all things that I think Luka's top 10. It's a sliding scale. It's never like this is set in stone forever. But right now, today, I would not have Luka in my top five. You know, and that's kind of crazy to think, but I wouldn't.
One last thing I like about Jason Tatum, and I know this because I heard him mention it, I think after the Game 3 loss, they were asking him about social media and what it was saying. I don't know what the full question was, but he made the point that I haven't been on since before the playoffs. He's 25 years old.
Yeah.
Jason Tatum didn't go. I went and looked. His last tweet, I think, was some marketing thing, with Mike Breen or something. But he hasn't been on Twitter, and guess what? He didn't tweet, I'm about to get off social media. He just did it.
Right.
And the only reason it was brought up was because I'm pretty sure because someone asked him about, hey, the world's out there saying Celtics down 0-3. How do you respond? His point was, I got off before the playoffs started. But my point is that, hey, at 25 years old, he really – Jace Tatum didn't even make a statement, hey, I'm getting off social media, bye, all that. He just got off.
He's super low-key.
And that kind of professionalism too is one of the things too that's that makes him so great, the way he carries himself.
No, I don't think like there's
I need Ja to move like that. You know, Alex Lomax said the real G's don't move like that. You know,
right.
Tatum moves the right. I need Ja to move more like that.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything wrong with like being active and interactive with your fans. You know, but there is a line that I think you probably like Ja probably crossed a Rubicon with. Like, he would be running the – we talked about this, like, years back. We said Ja would run to Twitter after games. Like, the game would end –
just talking about it yesterday.
2 to 3 minutes,
yeah,
he's on Twitter.
And he searched his name.
Yeah. Like,
rather
you can't
than,
be doing
than,
that.
You know, stuff that he was tagging.
It's just not healthy for anybody. You know what I mean? Forget what they say. Forget what people say. It doesn't matter. Unless it directly impacts you with somebody you care about, it doesn't matter. And I do think, Tatum is he is not a social media guy in that way. He's just going to do.
Nah, he's not nearly as marketable as Ja. That's
he's
the thing
not.
About it. And I ain't asking you to go be Jason Tatum because I think you got stuff that he doesn't have.
He still has
there's
shoe,
a
though,
level
right?
for. Yeah, he got a shoe. It's a Jordan shoe.
It's not as prestigious.
It just he tweeted about it, back in April when it came out, how excited he was to have it, and it doesn't feel nearly as big as the Ja's.
Right.
And, Jordan's got Luka, too, so he's kind of competing against Luka. It's really kind of unfair.
Yes.
I don't know if that was the wisest selection for him.
Yeah. That's weird, isn't it? Though?
I saw Mike hugged up with Luka at a game there at the end of the season or something. You wonder if Mike looks at Luka as the, who's the top dog in the Jordan? It ain't Zion,
right? It's got to be Luka.
It's got Luka over,
and maybe it'll be Tatum now. I mean,
and it should be. I'm with you in terms of what he's done. I'd have him on a higher pedestal,
right?
If I'm the Jordan brand, than I do Luka at this point.
Yeah,
but who knows worldwide and all that?
Why is it that
does Luka have more
to get a
worldwide?
Jordan signature shoe? It's not as even though it's the same company.
Who is it besides those three? I don't want to say he's got Zion.
I mean Russell Westbrook,
Jason Tatum,
Russell Westbrook has a Jordan
and Luka.
Shoe.
Okay,
they're not called Russell Westbrook, so they're called something else.
Russell still hanging on.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if he's getting any new ones, but I know he has had that in the past. But Zion. You would think slam dunk investment, but he's just on the court enough. Hard to sell shoes for a guy that never plays.
Yeah. Ja, way more marketable than all those guys. Just need him to adjust a little bit in terms of how he moves.
Well,
Lomax told him, you don't move like that, man. I'm real G's.
I was looking up who has Jordan brand signature shoes.
You could see the list. It's on Nike's on the Nike app. It's just a short list of Nike guys right now, period.
Right.
Durant, Paul George are all Nike. They're on the list with Ja. And then you got Zion, Luka, and Jason Tatum that are Jordan under the Nike umbrella.
Chris Paul is the other one.
He's Jordan.
Chris Paul, Luka, right. Russell, Zion, and now Tatum.
Yeah. And the Russell Westbrooks are called Why Nots. That's what they are.
Well, they'll be ending here soon.
Yeah, they will.
Those series. Now, Wembanyama already Nike?
Yes.
He would be the guy I'd worry about next if I was Ja or anybody else, right? That's hoping to
that's
have
what
the
I was like, yeah. Like they
signature
could just
shoe.
Cut it off.
But just, do we buy bigs? I mean, he's kind of he's a combo forward. He's a combo forward. I don't think he's a center. He's a combo big. Yeah. He's a combo big.
You don't think people would buy Wimby shoes?
They buy KDs.
Yeah, they buy them. I mean, I bought LeBrons in the past, you know, and they were great shoes, actually. The CP3s gave me plantar fasciitis, so I will never wear those again. I had to wear Dr. Scholl's for a year.
Your guy, Nick DiPaolo, who writes for
he's ESPN.
ESPN had a story about LeBron and how that was the most important meeting Nike ever had. You wouldn't go out there and say that this one with Wembanyama.
No.
More important.
It's not gonna.
Dude is not gonna change it. Change it like LeBron.
Yeah, I don't.
Will we ever see anybody do what LeBron did, John?
No.
That's what I used to say about Mike.
No.
I still do.
LeBron didn't change the shoe game, though.
I know. So, and DePaulo wrote this was the most important one 20 years ago, the meeting.
No, LeBron, it's kind of weird. LeBron, I mean, his shoes are great, and he has released, you know, 20 of them, but it's not like he, you know, nobody lines up to get the LeBrons.
They sell, though.
They do sell. I know they sell. But it's like there's not hype about the LeBrons.
It's just not.
Is it because they're an ugly shoe, or are they like just they're?
They got some though that are. They're not all ugly. It's not like the Zions or something. You know what I'm saying?
They're not as sexy as the Jordans though. You know, all the Jordans.
There was a Jordan drop this week. People were going crazy about.
Yeah,
it's crazy how much it's sustained.
Yeah, there's so many
love for that brand.
There's so many Jordans that are just good looking shoes, and there's like none with LeBron. I had like LeBron Lowe's. I don't remember what year. They were good shoes, though. They had great traction. Like, they were, like, functionally probably is the best shoes I've ever had. As I've said before, on these John 1s, I would not recommend playing basketball in them because if you go on a dirty court, not even a dirty court, but a slightly dusty court, which, like, you know, you're likely going to see in Memphis, you're going to be slipping and sliding. It's hard to plant. You know, it's hard to go full speed and plant with the John 1s. It just is. You can wear them out. You can lounge in them.
Let's put a real athlete in them before. Yeah, with you as the test dummy talking about it's hard to stop.
The jaw ones.
Your knees, it's just hard for your body to stop.
The jaw ones that the NBA players wear don't have the same traction that we're buying. I promise you that.
How many players have worn them? I thought it looked like KCP and Daniel House, I want to say,
I've seen several. I mean,
you've seen several during the game?
Yeah.
In these playoffs?
Yeah. I can't remember off the top of my head who they were, but
I was checking KCP last time, and I didn't think he had them on, but I thought he's been written about.
I saw some college basketball players wearing them at the end of the tournament.
You just said playoffs right now.
I know, but I'm going back. I think somebody was wearing like the scratches at the end of the NCAA tournament.
That's when he's truly made it. Is one if they become appreciated by NBA guys is a good shoe,
right? No doubt.
Like I mean, Bane wears LeBrons.
Yeah,
you're killing them. I mean, he wears the only thing his foot can.
Like I don't know what the material is, but I would say for the Ja 2s, if hopefully we get there, you know, offer a higher dollar version of them that are that don't pick up as much dust with the you know what I'm talking about, the sole, right?
Yeah,
the sole is just the it's not great. It's a $110 shoe, so I get that. I'd pay $180 if you have a better material at the bottom of the shoe that I don't have to wipe my feet off.
I see what you're saying. I'm gonna trust you on that.
Like it's like
because that price point is low.
Yeah, it's a budget.
So what they're using
shoe.
On the bottom is slick. You're saying
it's like regular rubber. You know what I mean? It's regular old rubber. I would say like with
I hadn't noticed Chris is yeah I hadn't paid close enough attention to see if he's slipping and sliding out there.
Yeah.
Because he's played in both pairs a couple times.
I don't know what you call it, man, but it's like get like a silicone bottom, you know, like a silicone bottom that you don't have to wipe your feet off. That's like going to continue to squeak, and you can get a lot of mileage out of. You're just not going to get that much mileage if you're a real hooper and you're playing in all kinds of different courts in Memphis. I'm just telling you, the Ja 1s are not going to last for you.
I wonder if the NBA guys would say the same thing you're saying. I'd be interested to compare.
But I think they get a different version.
You did mention that.
I think they get the one that I'm trying to get.
But they do have a $400 version you see coming out.
Yeah.
A $400 Ja, like retail $400. That must be, you know, technically using, you know, better materials or whatever it is.
I wish there was like a list of guys that we know of, because I'd like to get the I'd like to get the close up.
It says these job one midnights at some point. Some point this was supposed to be were 400 priced. You see these? They're black.
Yeah, the midnights.
And they must have they must have a better sole or better shoe bottom.
Yeah, I don't have like a. I'm trying to look at Ja's shoes here, right? Like he wore them. So what's the bottom look like on these? But I can't tell. I can't tell if like from my you know, I'm too far out of the frame here. I can't zoom in enough to see. But I really do. I think if you're wearing Ja ones, you're getting a different finish on them. That's my guess. I could be totally wrong, but that's my guess. Celtics Heat tonight. We'll be watching to see who is wearing Ja ones tonight. is anyone wearing the Ja ones?
Anybody in this series is.
No?
I think KCP might have been last series, and he has these playoffs.
Which ones?
And I thought Daniel House, I can't remember which ones he had on. You can search that on Twitter.
Okay.
In the meantime, we'll move to the next story.
Next story.
Respect bird to NLE Chopper. You see what's going on with him?
No. What's going on with NLE?
Yesterday, he was part of an unveiling of a new basketball court out in Raleigh. He did it with Nancy Lieberman Charities. Nancy Lieberman was out there, too. She's been doing a bunch of these, got over 100 all over the country. And, of course, they've gotten close, got close to the game, and decided to partner up back here in Memphis. And Chopper, who earlier this week, the soundtrack for Fast 10, I guess it is.
Yeah, when they go to space.
Was released, and he's on it. So earlier this week, that was on Friday, and then this week, you know, he unveiled the court. So he got a lot going on. He's giving back, and that's why I love former basketball player NLE Chopper, giving back to the community. Says he's going to do a bunch of these all over the city of Memphis.
Former Hoop City Basketball Club member.
The man can hoop.
Yeah, he
How long did Ernie have him?
Not long. Not long at all. Maybe a summer or two. But
I mean, you have to say he chose the right career.
Yeah, he did.
Basketball or rap.
Yes.
This dude's blowing up, dude. He is on this Fast 10 soundtrack.
No, I'm
got the one with Wayne out right now that's been out for a little while.
Yep.
Like, he's blowing up. Videos everywhere. Was giving helping out the kids yesterday with Nancy Lieberman. Maybe a combo you wouldn't have thought, you know, necessarily.
Name a better
up,
duo.
But she put her hand on his face.
Okay, Nancy.
You know, that's when those, you know, older women do that to you. And
yes.
Like, they love you like your grandma.
Yes.
And she talked about how sweet he is. Just something about old NLE Chopper that she loves.
Is that right?
That's why they decided to partner up. I love what they're doing for the city of Memphis. Beautiful court
they've
got
over
there. Yeah. Raleigh Community Center.
Good for them. You know, I saw this story this week in outside of Minneapolis. They're taking down basketball rims at a park to cut down on what they call loitering. But isn't that going to cause more loitering? If you take away the basketball court, like they were there,
no, it's going to lead, and it's going to increase this country's obesity as well.
Like, how can you do that? Like, that feels so racist to me. I ain't gonna lie to you. Like, just taking out the basketball courts. You taking out anything? Taking out the basketball courts? I mean, it just feels very targeted to me. You know, that's in Minnesota, where maybe the diversity is not as, you know, pronounced as it is here. But still, I saw that and I was like, damn, dude, like. Is anybody protesting this? I protest it.
Back to Fast and Furious 10. How many of these have you watched?
I haven't watched one. I didn't even watch the ones that The Rock was in. I haven't watched one.
And you know he comes back.
Yeah, he's coming back now. What's going on there?
Why did he decide to do this?
Because the whole DC thing flamed out in a big way.
Okay. So out of a little desperation.
I think it is. I think he's trying to revive a little bit. Because he DC's like putting him on blast. DC was like, he wanted all this creative control. He wanted everything to be about Dwayne. He never wanted it to be about the movie and the company. He just wanted it to be about the Rock's brand.
I thought he's a good person, you tell me all
he
the
is
time.
A good person, but maybe he's controlling, you know. Maybe he's controlling about the message.
Oh, he's very controlling,
you know? You know what I mean? But no, I think I have not watched a Fast and Furious since before Paul Walker died.
So guess what Vin Diesel said?
What?
They're about to do more spinoffs off this. Have one where female characters leading the way.
Okay.
You know, basically just continue this thing for the rest of your life.
Bro, they went to space. Okay? They went to
They're
space.
They're not racing spacecrafts.
Dude, they...
Why did they go to space?
I don't know, but I think like the
next... I don't think you can write that into the script. I don't believe you.
I think the next,
like Ron Burgundy.
I think the next plot line is going to be like Vin Diesel races to stop like Philadelphia from getting nuked or something, you know, by North Korea.
How has he not died in the film, in the series?
Yeah, look.
How many times has he escaped death?
That's a scene from Fast 9 with the car in space, bro.
They're racing in space, John.
It looks like it.
See, I don't see how many you can keep doing this.
And people were just like, yeah,
you know, at some
this
point,
is great.
We stopped making Nightmare on Elm Street. We stopped making, didn't we? We stopped making Friday the 13th and Jason just because there's nothing else you can write.
Well,
it's just silly at this point.
We bring them back eventually. But like Fast and Furious never stopped. It just kept coming fast and furiously. You know, like year.
It's been great for my man Tyrese's career.
Is he still in it?
I think.
I don't know.
Aren't they all? They all come back at some point. The girl's back too in this one, I think.
Yeah, well, there was a time where I remember Vin Diesel and The Rock were beefing.
Yes,
so
I know. That was another big part of this thing was getting The Rock back involved.
Well, he needs the
and
money.
And then having to put the beef. Yeah, that's why I meant it. Sound like desperation.
And the credibility.
Black Adam was terrible.
Black Adam was
almost wrecked him, huh?
It did in that company. He should have just stuck with Disney and Marvel. Don't trifle.
I told you he oversaturated himself.
Well, he probably has. He's everywhere.
Between that and the XFL, some bad business ventures, John.
The XFL.
Now, I read XFL was, well, maybe they're just saying it, but it was good enough. They're going to be back. The ratings were actually decent. And the thing you find, yes, the ratings were low, comparatively speaking, but that they sustained themselves, that they didn't drop off a ton from those first 2 to 3 weeks, which is so critical. You know, these previous spring leagues have lost interest after the first 2 to 3 weeks. Their championship game got close
right
to where they were at the beginning, close enough to where, you know, they're happy enough. And plus, I mean, ESPN's invested. They got to say
yeah,
we're happy. But well, it was decent is what it
right.
What
and you
got to
think about what else would they put on at that time in March and April.
Oh, no, they need the program.
Yeah, so
the only times they got killed, apparently, was during the tournament, the end of the tournament,
right.
The NCAA tournament. And then
I would push back from that. I would maybe.
But there were weeks there where they were the only thing and benefited from it.
Well, thanks to Fitz.
Great.
Jason Fitz was the reason why they were hanging on, man. He attached his name to that thing. He was doing the host and stuff, you know. So I think they have Fitz to thank for that, no doubt about that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think, you know, speaking of oversaturated, I mean, how many damn Fast Furiouses do we need? People keep going to see
them.
I'm just
glad that they've made enough that NLE Choppa can do a video as part of it, have a soundtrack, be in the soundtrack using his music. Good for him. Always a Memphis tie, John.
Tokyo Drift, I think I saw that
one. I think that was the last one I saw.
But it was bad. It was a bad movie. It was like had Bow Wow in it, and it's just not a. It's not a. Is Ludacris still in it?
Man, I don't know.
We got to kill some characters off, right? We got to like. Next generation of Fast and Furious. You know, if we're gonna do 50 of these, we got to like have some kids that are coming up and taking over the space car reins. You know, we had lots of franchises, right? We had the Mummy, had some spinoffs. Remember the Scorpion King. Who could forget that? Then the Mummy came back, but it was terrible with Tom Cruise.
Mm-hmm.
We should have just let the Brendan Fraser one lie.
We should have,
but we didn't. We didn't. Trying to think of some other like 2000s era franchises. You know what we did do? We did a really good job. We stopped making Friday movies. We only did like 3 of those. They were good, and it's good to cut it off while it's still good. Instead of like drawing it out until it's awful. Professional wrestling is the king of this.
Is it 3 Fridays or 4? It was one or the other.
It was Friday, yeah. Next Friday, Friday after next. Was there one after that?
Maybe. There was the Christmas one. Was that the second or
I think
the
that was. I think that Ricky was Smiley. One of the three. Yeah. That was one of the three.
Man, I lost track.
Those were good, though.
Yeah.
You didn't like Friday movie?
The Ricky Smiley one with the Santa was, that was still in there.
Well, the original was impossible to top.
Hell, even the second one. Wasn't the second one they won the lottery?
Yeah, I think so.
His uncle?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's probably not a great example, but it was still okay. You know, it was still decent. You know, most of these, if you get past 2 or 3, you know, it's not.
But the second one was the introduction basically of Mike Epps, wasn't it? Because Chris Tucker was the first one. And Mike Epps became, you know, there right. are moments in it that are absolutely hilarious. But I won't give you that they were both critically acclaimed as the first one.
Guardians of the Galaxy, we got 4 out of. Avengers, we got like 10
What about
out
Jurassic
of.
Park? How many of those have we gotten?
A lot, and they're not, most
that's,
of them,
that's the
most
one
of them are not good.
And they, it can feels like it can take. Well, was that the last installment this last time?
Yeah, I didn't even see. I didn't even watch the last one.
That's one where I feel like we've written, we've done as much
because,
as we can.
Because realistically,
we're up to 7 through 22 on those
Jurassic Park.
Mm-hmm. See, there's your club.
Here's Dominion. The
thing. How many different ways can we write a story about a dinosaur escaping from this damn place?
Dude, you know? Like these writers, if it's hot, like Ozark, I was over poppy seed drugs being planted in the middle of the Ozarks. Like, you have to like, these writers will figure out a way if it's making money. They just write and write and write and
write. Well, as long as people are going to the movies to see it or streaming it, then they will get made.
Oh, I mean, they just keep writing.
And that's why Fast and Furious continues to live on, because people, for whatever reason, enjoy these movies.
Had somebody tell me, White Men Can't Jump, 2, not too bad.
Stop.
Well, you've been killing it.
Really?
You've been just thinking it'd be a Space Jam,
I'll
too.
I'll never find out. I'll never find out.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll have
to. Hers is pretty solid. That's what I was told. Just letting you know.
Speaking of white men who can't jump, Jeff Calkins will join us at 125. We'll talk to him about the John Morant shoe game and sort of his own review, his personal review of the Ja 1s, because I know he's got a few pairs. So we'll do all that with Jeff Calkins at 125. Stick around. Jason and John, I'm trying to film ESPN.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.